Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands toward heaven and talk to God one more time as we begin to share the Word of God. Just honor Him from your heart. Open up your spirit to the Lord. Ask Him to minister to you tonight. The Bible said the Word of the Lord is quick and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is for the dividing asunder of the soul and of the spirit, of the bone and of the marrows. It said it's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can we just go ahead and ask the Lord tonight that the Word will come into our spirit with fire, with precision. It doesn't take a lifetime for an encounter and for a transformation to take place. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. He said, like the twinkling of an eye, like the twinkling. Transfiguration can take place. It's about a moment of the spirit. Can we just go ahead and talk to the Lord? From the depths of your heart, honor Him, praise Him, give Him praise. Tell Him you are ready to receive tonight. Tell Him you are ready. We are about to take a flight in the spirit.
You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign.
You
sit on your throne.
Father, we thank you. We are persuaded you visit us mightily tonight. We are persuaded lives will be transformed. We are certain destinies will be transformed and purposes will be born, even as your name is glorified. In Jesus' precious name. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you. Since it's my first night, maybe I should do a bit of exegesis. When I looked at the theme of the conference, the King's Reward, I was so fascinated. There are phrases that capture the totality of the essence of human existence. There are phrases that are deep, so deep that it may take a lifetime to really explore and to understand what they represent. You know, when you begin to contemplate the person of God, the first thing you realize is the futility of human tendencies and inclinations. When you look at what man, on account of his research and on account of his discoveries, has brought to the face of the earth, you may assume for a second that man is a wonder. Until you begin to explore the depths of God, you will now discover that everything we know and have is not up to a tincture of the weight of the essence of God. And so when a king and a majestic being of this order wants to reward, then it's a burden to actually understand what his reward will be. You know, if I want to reward you, you may just need to do a brief research about me, and then you will be able to estimate what I can give on account of my capacity. But when you want to contemplate the reward of a monarch that is eternal, you will now discover it will take a lifetime. And so this is a disclaimer that everything we'll do here, it's a scratch of true reality. It will be pride and foolishness to assume that we can communicate the scope of the King's reward. Because even for eternity, we will not know it. The Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the heavens is the spiritual dimensions of creation. The earth realm and the visible realm that God created, which happened to be the offspring of the spirit realm, we are yet to discover 1/10 of the earth realm. Scientists have realized that the galaxies, the Milky Ways, is unexplorable. Because when you are done studying our galaxy, you now discover there are over 500 million galaxies that are spreading continually per second. Now, that the visible realm is an offspring of the spirit realm. Now, if the galaxies are so vast that no instrument can study it, in fact, if you want to travel to the star, it will take a lifetime operating at the speed of light to approach the star, and you will still not get there. Considering the distance of the star from the earth, it will take the speed of light traveling for a lifetime, and you will still not arrive. Now, that is how vast the visible realm is. And the visible realm is an offspring of the spirit realm. Now, if the visible realm is that vast, it therefore means that the invincible realm cannot be contemplated. Even the angels that live there, they don't know the full location and the scope and the dimension of that realm. Now, if the God that created this unimaginable scope of limitless expanse wants to reward you, you will need to study that reward. Aliyah,
Hallelujah. 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 Lord, help us. You know, there are realms you get to that you can't speak because of the intelligence that governs those realms. If you speak, you'll be in error. You know, when the glory of God descended and Peter said, he talked. He was talking from the plane of human intelligence. He said, let's build three tents. You don't know what you are saying. Why not keep quiet and be giving utterance? And when Jesus looked at him, he didn't answer. Because if you give such answer, it will be judgment. Because he was not, his quietness was his utterance in that realm. There are realms where you don't talk. If you talk, you are wrong. That's why we chant. In the angelic realm, angels are not the same in ranking. Angels are messengers. But when you enter the heavenly realms, there are some spirit beings that are not messengers. There are some beings that just stand in God's presence. They just stand there. Because access in that realm is power. And then there are other beings that don't stand. They sit on thrones. Those ones are not called angels. Angelos are messengers. Elders, they are keepers of the secrets of God. They are keepers. Because when you enter the realm of God, the wisdom is much. So you need elders to keep those secrets. And the elders that are keepers of the secrets of God, when they studied God, they now discovered it will be an error to name him. So they call him holy. Holy is not a name. It means you are in your class. You are separated unto your name. Anything we call you will be an error. And so the only thing they do is that when he appears in majesty, they fall on their faces and they say, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. That's the being that wants to reward us. Please, let's sit down. Let me enter the Bible. Let me enter scripture. I'm seeing something like a strand of fire, like a strand, and somebody is about to be baptized into authority. This thing I'm seeing is towards my left. There's a strand of fire. It's coming down. It will fall on somebody now as I'm talking. And you'll start speaking in tongues and prophesying. You can't even hold it. You have been commissioned from the realm of God. You have been commissioned. Father, whoever that one is, before we journey in the spirit, catch that person for me. Taneteke farato. I release that order in the spirit. Mete imakona. Batanji soroba.
Betei Makona. Bazanji Kunyaba.
Betei Makona. Betei Makona.
Betei Makona.
Betei Makona.
Betei Makona.
Betei Makona.
Betei Makona.
Betei Makona.
Aini Bazanji Toroba.
Betei Makona.
Somebody is in, you are living in fear. Go and relax. The one before whom we've come to do is the creator of the heavens and the earth. All your problems put together is not enough to get his attention. Because he doesn't need to talk for your problem to be solved. And so I decree over you today, he said, weeping may endure for the night. He said, but joy comes in the morning. This is the morning of your life. Thank you, Father. Please help those people that came under the fire. Their lives will not be the same again. Let's look at scriptures. I think I need to step down the energy a bit. 5 minutes to rounding up, I will come up again. Now, when you want to study the subject of reward, you have to approach it from two dimensions. There's a physical dimension to reward, and there's a spiritual dimension to reward. The reason is because the Bible said, in 1 John chapter 5, around verse 14, it said, God is not unjust to forget our labor of love. And so the justice system of God necessitates that God rewards us according to the structures that he has placed in himself. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we call upon him, he answers. And the reason he answers is because it's not unjust to forget our labors of love. And so every time a man aligns with the standards of God, there are tokens that God puts in place to make for a reward. And so these are some of the things we want to explore tonight. And so there is a physical dimension to the rewards or the reward system of God. And there is a spiritual dimension to the reward system of God. Now, God of necessity will reward us in this life, because you cannot be sure of an eternal reality when you are not making physical contact of it. Because when he created the spirit realm, he also created the visible realm. And so the visible realm is an attestation that the spirit realm exists. And so everything God intends to do in the spirit realm, he creates a crystallization process of that spiritual reality in the visible realm. However, it's important for men to understand that everything we see in the natural realm is a foretaste of the realities that are in the spirit. Everything we see in this life is a foretaste of the life that is to come. If we become carried away by this life and we define our essence based on this life, it means we don't have understanding. This is why Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 15, 19. And he said, if only in this life we have hope, he said, we are of all men most miserable. That means if we judge realities only from the plane of the natural realm, everything you call that is misery. If your dealings with God does not translate to an eternal dimension, whatever you receive here and now is a miserable state of existence. And so there are many persons doing well in the natural world, but they don't have a touch with the supernatural world. They don't have anything they can trust in the world to come. That kind of life, Paul calls it misery. And so tonight, the reason we need to study the world from both the physical and the spiritual is so that we don't end up receiving only the things that are available in the physical,
and then forget the things that are in the world to come. In fact, when Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 17 to 18, he made a striking statement that gives us an idea of the superiority of the world to come over this world. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he said, worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. And he said, the things that are seen, they are temporal. He said, but the things that are unseen, they are eternal. Now, Paul was considering or comparing his afflictions on earth to the rewards that will come in the world to come. And everything that happened to Paul, Paul called it light. Now, if you understand what Paul went through, you will know that except as the eternal realms were brought in, otherwise, there's no way that thing is called light. Paul was flogged 39 times, 39 stroke, 3 times. He called it light. Paul was thrown into prison twice. He called it light. At a time, Paul was left under the sea for a day and a half. Paul called it light. Paul was stoned to death. Paul called it light. What will make a man call such affliction light is because when he compared that affliction with the glories of the world to come, he said, even though this affliction is big in the natural world compared to the world to come, he said, this is nothing at all. Because Paul understood the superiority of the realm to come over this realm. But unfortunately, there are many believers who only see and know this reality. And so they judge their existence from this plane, and they are not living in order to have relevance in the world to come. And so if we don't take time to define reward from both the natural and the supernatural, from both the temporal and the eternal, we may end up pursuing temporal rewards only. And by the time we cross the veil of time into eternity, we will discover that both us and the rewards we receive in time was a waste. And so in order for it not to appear as though I undermine the natural realm, I will just quickly outline 3 rewards that God gives us in the natural realm and the precursors of those rewards. Then I will leave it and enter my subject, because the king's reward is actually in the world to come. Everything he's doing here now are mercy drops. Is to give us an idea of what he will do in the world to come. Everything God is giving us now and can give us now is nothing compared to the world to come. And so we are not primarily living for this realm. We are not living for this life. We are living for the life to come. This life is an opportunity to invest into the life to come. And that is what distinguishes between the wise and the foolish. The Bible told us the story of a wise fool that filled his barn and said, now my soul will rest, for my barn is full. And God looked at him from heaven and said, you fool, who told you your soul will rest because your barn is full on earth? Is your barn full in heaven? Don't you know that in heaven you are a slave? You are celebrating over what you have in the natural when you have nothing in the supernatural. You are celebrating what you have in the temporal when you have nothing in the eternal. You have no understanding. And so reward is actually not in time. It's in the world to come. But let's look at the fragments of reward that God gives in the natural realm. Because we cannot exclude the natural realm and talk about the supernatural realm. We cannot exclude the temporal realm and talk about the eternal realm. And so there are 3 rewards I just want to mention here quickly that God gives to us. And I tell you, the reason God gives us this reward is for threefold. Number one is to advance his kingdom. Number two is to live a good life. And number three is to improve the quality of the lives of others. This is why God blesses us and rewards us in this realm. Number one, to advance his kingdom. He said, thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is him that giveth thee power to get wealth, to establish his kingdom that he committed to your fathers even this day. Deuteronomy 8:18. So the first reason God blesses us, rewards us, and empowers us in this realm is so that we can advance his kingdom. The second reason God empowers us in this realm is so that we can live a good life. He said, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God that giveth to every man liberally that he might enjoy. So God is also interested in our good life, in our better living. In fact, in John 10 verse 10, he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life and life to the full. So firstly, God wants us to advance his kingdom. Secondly, God wants us to live a good life. And thirdly, God wants us to improve the lives of others. And so these three rewards I'm about to outline here is not just for you to live a good life. It's not just for you to live a glorious life. Because many people mistake it that the moment God promotes them, it's all about themselves. If it were all about you, that promotion is too big because you don't need so much to take care of yourself. If it's all about you, then you don't need what you are praying for, because what you are praying for is too big for you. If you have what to eat, where to lay your head, and raiment to cover, it's enough for a good life. The reason God rewards and empowers us so greatly is because there is an eternal kingdom that we must advance on the face of the earth. And because there are people's lives that we need to change and upgrade. And so I want to outline three rewards very quickly, having stated the reason why God gives reward. The first reward God gives to men is a name. This is the natural realm reality. It's a name. In Genesis chapter 12, from verse 1 to 3, God met a man that was seeking after something that was eternal. And God looked at him and said, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. And he said, I will bless you. And I will increase you. And I will make your name great. And so every time God begins to empower people and reward them in this kingdom, one thing God does is that he makes their name great. You know, in the natural, name represents many things. The most elementary things name represent, or the most elementary thing name represent, is identification. Name represents much more than identification. Names are signets of authority. Names are doorways of possibilities. Names are given to people in order for them to achieve that which is bigger than them. Because names represent many possibilities in the spirit. And so when God wants to elevate a man, what he does is that he rewards him with a great name. Remember, in that scripture, he didn't say you have a great name. He said, I will make thy name great. That means when I am rewarding you, what I will do is that I will add authority to your name. And so your name will not just be for identification anymore. Your name will begin to represent possibilities in the natural realm. This is why there are many names today that can give you a contract. There are many names today that can open doors for you. There are many names today that can feed you. There are many names today that can change your story forever. They can give you money and you will exhaust it. But when they give you a name, that name becomes a legal tender in many quarters. And so when God wants to reward men, in order to keep their dynasty on earth for a prolonged time, what he gives them is not money. What he gives them is a name. That name can attract money. That name can attract open doors. That name can attract favor. In fact, many times, if you want things to happen for you, you have to go in another person's name. That's why you see many people wear shirts with other people's names. Because they know that rubbed on that name is favor. A favor that if they introduce themselves for 1 year, they will not have. But if they come in the name of another, it will open a door they would never have opened. That kind of name is not bought in the market. It is given by a spirit. And if you study scriptures, what makes God give people reward of names is covenant and relationship. When a man has a covenant relationship with God, the way God rewards him is by giving him a name. And so in this kingdom, if you want to have a great name, one thing you must pursue to achieve is to pursue a relationship with God. If it is in the kingdom, you must have a relationship with God to have a great name. Every time men begin to cut covenants with God and build relationship with God, God begins to increase their name. And you discover that there is authority on that name. There is favor on that name. There is grace on that name. And so the system of the spirit that rewards men with name are covenants and relationships. If you study this scripture, it says, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. Come with me. If you come with me, what I will do for you is that I will give you a name. Now, when Peter met Jesus, Jesus looked at him and told him, the first thing I want to do is to change the meaning of your name. Because there are two dimensions to this reality. Your name is a prophecy. What you call yourself is what will happen to you. And so when you meet God and the prophetic meaning of your name is wrong, He will change it. But that's not the name God is giving you. That one is changing it so that your possibilities will not be in the wrong direction. Because Abraham meant assumed father. Abraham meant father of kings. But the name He gave Abraham was not necessarily father of kings. The name He gave Abraham were many, if you study the Old Testament. Number one, a point came, Abraham became big and God called him possessor of heaven and earth. That one is not nomenclature. That one is a realm. That one is an authority. Because when Melchizedek met him, he said, Abraham, blessed of God, possessor of heaven and earth. God changed the nomenclature first to alter the prophetic meaning. But what God put on that name was not just father of kings. What God put on that name were possibilities and dimensions. And one of the possibilities God put on that name is that the whole earth belongs to you. Now, another thing God injected into Abraham's name was friend of God. And so if you come because of Abraham, you become God's associate. Another thing God put in that name was author of salvation. That's why when Jesus came, He had to follow the covenant of Abraham to route salvation. Another thing God put in that name was father of faith. And so it's impossible to discuss faith in this kingdom without routing Abraham. Abraham became the definition and the symbol of faith in the spirit. All of these were packaged into Abraham's name. And so when you summon Abraham in the spirit, Abraham represents faith. Abraham represents salvation. Abraham represents friend of God. Abraham represents the possessor of the heavens and the earth. Today, Christians claim Abraham to their father. Muslims claim Abraham to their father. Jewish people claim Abraham to their father. Because in that name is patriarchy order. Patriarchal order. The order of the patriarch was in that name. And so changing it from Abraham to Abraham was not the big deal. It was the investment that God put in it that was the big deal. The same thing happened to Peter. When Peter came to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, you are called Simon. He said, but from today you shall be called Peter. But this one is to help you so that you can walk in your destiny. Because Simon means a reed. But Petros is a rock. I need somebody that is stable. Because if you are not stable, I can't build on you. But after Peter walked with Jesus in relationship for a long time, in Matthew 16 verse 18, Jesus looked at him when he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. And he said, thou art Peter. That was when Jesus named him. What Jesus did was that Jesus added leadership and authority to him. And he said, upon this revelation, I will build my church. It was from that day that Peter became the leader of the apostles. The moment Jesus left, nobody argued with him. Peter became the natural leader because a name was given to him. And so when God wants to reward you based on the quality of relationship you have with Him, He gives you a name in the kingdom. In our kingdom today, certain men have names that even after going to heaven for many years, we are still invoking that name on earth. Many people are still using the name of Benson Idahosa to achieve things on earth. Many people are still using the name of Babalola to achieve things on earth. In fact, if you go for a meeting and the atmosphere is choked and you cannot find the Holy Spirit, begin to talk the stories of those patriarchs that have name with God. As you begin to talk about them, the witness of these men enter the building. The angels that walk with them enter the building. The mantles they carry enter the building. Because attached to that name are angelic functionaries. They are mantles. They are dimensions. And every time those names are summoned, those possibilities show up because they inherited those names from God as reward. It is only people who don't know what God gives that takes their relationship with God for granted. And so when we talk about prayer and fasting, it's beyond meeting a prayer quota. When we are talking about worshiping God, it's beyond carrying out a religious assignment. It's a spiritual investment that improves the quality of your name in the spirit. And as you build your relationship with God, a point will come, God will put his credibility on your name. And you can come somewhere, somebody fails, and you come and say, I raise you up. And because you say, I raise you up, the whole nation will forgive him. Somebody wants to do something. He doesn't have the capacity to do it. He will rather entreat you to support him for 1 year than run around the whole nation. And if you are willing to support him, one statement from you gives him validation that is superior to his connection to everybody in his tribe and his ancestor. Because there is a name. And so the first way God rewards men in the natural realm is by giving them a name. And what makes for God to reward men with name is the quality of relationship they have with God. Our challenge today as Christians is the fact that we are many, but few have names in the spirit. When we gather in church, the church register has 2,000 names. The church card has 10,000 names. But when you check in the spirit, there are no names there. And so you come to a church that has 2,000 membership. But when you check in the spirit, you will be hoping you will find 2,000 names. You will not find. Sometimes it's only one widow that is cleaning the chairs in church that has a name. And that widow that has name is not preaching. It is the pastor that doesn't have a name that comes on the altar every day and is making declarations against terrorists. Who told you can challenge the terrorists? Who told you that because your title is apostle or prophet, you can challenge the terrorists? If we knew those who had names in church, we would give them opportunity for 1 week and our possibilities will change forever. You can use politics to be ordained, but you cannot use politics to have a name in the spirit. Name in the spirit is a reward that God gives men. See, what we need sometimes is to tell the title holders to shift. Let those who have names in the spirit talk to us. I know you can bring the church register and the attendance is 5,000. But can you bring the spiritual register of the church? We want to read that one too. Because the spiritual register of the church, the names there may be 5. Did you not read? When Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he didn't see church as a gathering of people. He saw church as territorial lampstands. He saw church as light that beams in eternity to bring direction from Zion. It is only on earth that we build a big church. We judge a big church by the number of the congregation. A church of 20 people may have more stature than a church of 100,000 people, depending on how many of them have names in the spirit. Let me stop here. Let me give you an instance. You see, the Israeli army was invincible because of what they represent in the spirit. If you study the Israeli army, when David asked that the army should be counted, the number of the army was about 617,000. When you study the letters of the Torah, the letters of the Torah are over 311,000. And the Jewish man believes that every letter in the Hebrew is dual in nature. It's like a picture, so it has an opposite side. And so the Torah in the spirit is representative in number of about 613,000. Now, the reason the Israeli army is invincible is because they are called the Word of God. And so when the Israeli army is marching, it's the Torah that is marching. The Torah. And so if you cannot destroy the Word of God, you cannot destroy that army. Even if they pack stones, they will win. Because they are not a people. Their value in the spirit is equivalent to the Torah. So when the army of Israel moves, it's the Torah that is marching. That's why many times before David goes to war, he checks with the Urim and the Thummim. If the Urim and the Thummim gives him permission, he moves. Because the army of Israel is the Torah. And so the whole army of Israel is equivalent to the word of God. Now, when you study 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible was speaking about Moses. And they say, when Moses is read, what it means is that Moses as one man was equivalent to the Torah. And so what the whole army of Israel can do, Moses as one man can do. Because in the natural, when you are counting the army of Israel, you will count 1 to 600,000. But in the spirit, when you are counting the army of Israel, you count the word of God. The same way, if you are counting Moses in the natural, you will say 1. But in the spirit, Moses is not 1. In the spirit, Moses is equivalent to the Torah. Because the Bible called Moses the law. And if Moses is equivalent to the Torah, then Moses is equivalent to the army of Israel. And so if you count the army of Israel as 600,000, when you are counting Moses, if you say 1, you are wrong. Because Moses is also equal to 600,000. So when you are counting number in the natural, and you are counting number in the spirit, they are different. The same way, if you are counting names in the natural, and you are counting names in the spirit, they are different. We can have a congregation of 10,000 people, but in the spirit, that congregation is 2. Because the way you check the weight of the congregation is not who came to church on Sunday. It's who came for the vigil for prayer. The way you know the size of a church is who went out for evangelism. Because those are the people God can count on. Those are the people that have record in Zion. It's not the people that came to church to sit under the air condition to hear a good message. It's the people that can bear the burdens of Abba. Those are the people God goes out with. When it's time to pray, they are available to lend their voice. When it's time for soul winning, they are available to go to the street. Those are the real members in the spiritual realm. And so those are the ones that will have a name, because their relationship with God is beyond their comfort zone. Their relationship with God is a relationship that God can depend on. Such people have names in the spirit. If the church in Nigeria begin to raise men that have names, our battles will end. Because in the days of the fathers, one man could stand and say, let the son stand still. While we are trying to prophesy to men, there are people who prophesy to the sun and the moon. What kind of authority is that? And the sun will obey, and the moon will obey. Imagine if 3 of such men come into the city. We will not need to pray against terrorism anymore. Because when we need something to happen, we will look for them. Say, please come. We have a problem. And if 3 of such men come to church, their number is superior to the whole congregation. And so the first way God rewards his people is by giving them a name. And what God considers before giving a name to a man or a woman is the depth of his relationship. And relationship is loyalty, is fidelity, is dependency. It's not just, you are my friend, I'm your friend. How much can God count on you? If God showed up in this church today and say, I need 10 people to go to the north, how many can go? If God shows up here today and say, I need 20 people to do something that is uncommon, how many will come out? That's where you will discover that church may be big, but those who have name are little. And this is not just about a particular congregation or an assembly. This is where the body of Christ is. Our relationship level with God is very low. Every time we gather and we lift our hands, we are trying to look for things that if we had a name, it would have commanded. Every time we shout on the name of God, we are begging for things that if we had a name, it would have addressed. We are intelligent in the natural, but in the spirit, we lack intelligence. In the natural, we understand well enough that if you have a name, you can open doors. In the natural, we understand that if you have a name, it's superior to money. How come in the spirit, you don't strive to have names? And so when somebody notices a boil in his body, he's looking for a prophet. When somebody notices that he's having strange dreams, he's looking for an apostle. When somebody needs a breakthrough, he's looking for a prophet. When will that time come? When men will rise in the spirit. And when they speak, the spirit realm will obey them. Because they too have a stand. It is so bastardized today that you go to certain places. Prophets and apostles tell people, don't pray, I will pray for you. They tell people, don't fast. A prophet will be on the mountain and call somebody by 2 a.m. and say, I'm praying for you. I'm on the mountain now, and God, go and relax. If you don't have what to do, keep quiet. These are people looking for money and trying to win favor with men. Who told you that when you are praying on the mountain, me too should not be praying? Who told you that you should pray by night and me too should not stand to pray? And so pastors and leaders have made Christians dwarfed in the spirit. And so a generation must rise where everybody content to have a name for himself in the spirit. And the way you build a name is by a relationship. Service from January to December is impartation. Service from January to December is prophecy. Service from January to December is anointing men. You who is prophesying to people, what did you do that you got to that point where you are able to tell other people they are blessed? How can the people not be taught to also get to that point where you are, that you don't need impartation every day, yet you are prospering? Because we rob people of the opportunity of building relationship. If the pastor is fasting, the whole church should fast. If the pastor is praying, the whole church should pray. If the pastor is giving, the whole church should give. If the pastor is going to win souls, the whole church should go to win souls. Because what makes him have authority in the spirit is that relationship he has with God. And so instead of coming to the pastor to receive impartation, instead of coming to the pastor to receive prophecy, find out what he's doing to satisfy his relationship with God and begin to do the same. A point will come, you'll be shocked that before somebody told you your business is blessed, naturally your business will be blessed. Before somebody told you you are healed, naturally you will be healed. It says, seest thou a man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment? He said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. He said, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, treasures forevermore. It's not everything we need to receive by impartation. It's not everything we need to receive by prophecy. It's not everything we need to receive by anointing oil. There are certain things we grow into because we too have a name and a standing in the spirit. This is what Christianity is about. In Psalm 1, from verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He said, on this law doth he meditate day and night. It's like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. He said, that tree does not wither. It produces its fruit in its season. It produces its fruit in its season. Because that tree is also rooted in God. The time has come for everybody to build relationships. Thank God for impartations. Thank God for prophecies. Thank God for anointings. But the time has come for you to ask yourself, what is the name God has given to me? God himself came back when Israel was weeping in Egypt. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How can God, the God of heaven, introduce himself after a man? God wanted to receive acceptance and credibility with Israel. He didn't say, I am Elohim. He said, I am the God of Abraham. The same way you receive credibility by aligning with another man. God wanted Moses to be accepted by Israel, and God had to introduce himself after Abraham. What kind of name does Abraham have in the spirit? May your own Abraham not just be nomenclature. So God can meet somebody else and tell the person, I'm the God of Michael. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Timothy. Because not every man is popular on earth. There are some men who are popular in the spirit. And so when angels come, they will tell you, I met Zacharias on my way here. Did you not read about Ananias? God appeared to Saul on his way to Damascus. He said, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. Men that have standing with God. And when Ananias came to Saul, he told Saul, the God that appeared to you on your way sent me to you. That means you can have a private dialogue with God. Somebody else is aware. You are praying to God in your bedroom. What you are asking God for. Another man comes to your house in the morning and said, that thing you were telling God in the night yesterday, I came to give you the answer. Because while you are asking for things, others are asking for debts. Lord, show me your glory. I want to see more of you. Moses brought Egypt down, but it was not enough. He said, my angel will go with you. He said, we will not move from here. Show me your glory. Your relationship with me is superior to a title. Your relationship with me is superior to a mantle. Your relationship with me is superior to a blessing. You are the one I'm looking for. This is what gives this man name. He said to Abraham, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, for I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. There are men who have gifts, but few have rewards. There are men who have blessings, but few have rewards. And the reason is because they've not walked with God enough for God to put credibility on their name in the spirit. Can you imagine a man is so popular that every angel knows him? An angel met Jacob and he said, I know you. You are called Jacob. We know you in heaven. May the president not know you, and they don't know you in heaven. May all businessmen in Abuja not know you, and you are not popular in heaven. May everybody on earth who seemingly or seems to be relevant know you, but in heaven you are a stranger. And when you show up to heaven, you are trying to introduce your name. No, there are certain men that when they walk to heaven, angels welcome them on red carpet. They say, welcome home. We know you. We know you. Your name has been ringing in Zion. We know you. We know you. And that name is not only in heaven. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? Because even demons know men. Because when you have a name, the Bible said that name is exalted. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and in the world beneath. It was not only Jesus that had that right. Paul too knew that there is a way you walk with God that you will have a name. The same way Jesus had a name that was known in heaven and in the world beneath. That's how Paul was known. Paul said, I knew a man many years ago. Whether he was in the flesh or in the body, in the spirit, he said, I cannot tell. He said, that man was carried to the third heaven. And he said, that man was also carried to Hades. And suddenly, when Paul entered the city, demons recognized him. The same way demons recognized Jesus. Angels recognized him. The same way angels recognized Jesus. And somebody went to cast out demons, and the demon is telling him, it's only Jesus and Paul we know for now. Who are you? Who are you? That means Paul had a name. And I can assure you, if you don't go to where Paul went to in relationship, your own Paul will end on it. Because not everybody will carry their name to heaven. It depends on the depth of your relationship. If your name is not known in heaven while you're on earth, you will leave that name on earth when you go to heaven. That is if you make it there. And so the first way God rewards men is to give them a name. And the Bible said a good name is better to be desired than silver and gold. The second physical reward. Now, these are physical things. I've not entered spiritual things yet. These are physical things. I read about A.A. Allen. That A.A. Allen comes to a man who is demonized. And he will say, I am A.A. Allen. And demons will flee. I am A.A. Allen. And demons flee. The same way demons knew Paul. A man like Paul doesn't need to come to a demon and say, get out. When he shows up, they know him. Before this conference is over, your relationship with God will reach a point where you will have a name. Please be seated. And so what it goes to mean is that the most important thing about your life is not the car you drove here. It's the relationship you have with God. Because the car you drove here, even you will outlive it. But the relationship you have with God will outlive you. Even after you've gone from the earth, that relationship will be a legal tender in the spirit. And it's on the strength of your relationship that a name will be given to you. Number two. Is it not amazing that before Jesus came into the world, an angel was mobilized from heaven to come and introduce him and called him a name and say he will be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. And then after Jesus served the will of the Father in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, the Bible will now say God gave him a name. I thought he had a name before he was born. Because there is a name in a name. The name in the name is the name.
He said, God gave him a name. And he said, at that name, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is what? Is Lord. That means what was added to that name is Lord. When he was born, he was Jesus the child. But through relationship, he became Jesus the Lord. That's how everybody must grow. So before you leave this world, let your own Peter, let something be added to it. Before you leave this world, let something be added to your Nathaniel. Let something be added to your Nkechi. Let something be added to your Julia. Because if you have an empty Julia, you will be empty indeed in Zion. The second reward God gives men is influence. Influence is a scepter. I think we should stop here and pray. I'm feeling somebody, you don't like my gospel. Let me preach about wealth. Let me talk about prosperity. In the name of Jesus, in the next 7 days, receive a car. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. This is a worded church. This is a spiritual church. This is a church. I think I'm feeling at home now. Praise God. Hallelujah. The second thing God gives to a man is influence in the spirit. Influence is a scepter. It's like a rod that you carry in the spirit. But you see, there is something that provokes influence. What provokes a name is covenant and relationship. What provokes influence in the spirit is not covenant and relationship. What provokes influence in the spirit is service. The quality of your service is what translates to influence, or the level of influence that God puts upon you. If you study the life of Joseph in Genesis 41, from verse 39 to 42, Joseph was destined for greatness. He had visions, he had encounters, but he didn't have service. And because he didn't have service, there was no way influence could be credited to him. Because if you give influence to a man who has no service, it's fraud. There are many young people, especially today, that have encounters. And because they have encounters, they jump out, they want to address the body of Christ. And maybe because you have a page on the internet, you sit there and you begin to address the body of Christ and teach and say big things. You don't gain influence by becoming popular. Popularity is not influence. Influence is a scepter, and it takes service to build it. If you don't have service at your foundation, even if you become popular, you will not be influential. Because that scepter can change things. It can command things to happen in the spirit. And so when God wants to give a man influence, what he does is that he routes him through the pathway of service. And so God gave encounters to Joseph. His brothers hated him for it and sold him as a slave. Joseph went into prison. He was not influential. The destiny was so great, but he needed influence to activate it. So long as service was not there, influence could not come. Visions accurate, encounters accurate. In fact, he met important people, but he was not influential. And so you can do politics and get connected to people. It may still not give you influence. That's why many people today are related to very influential people, but their lives cannot attest to it. Because they've not served. And every time a man seeks to cling to influence without service, that's a fraudulent act in the spirit.
And so the way to build influence that the signature of God is upon, is through the gateway of service. And Joseph was in prison until he began to render service. And the Bible said, two of the servants of the king came into that prison. And Joseph rendered service to them. He used his gift to interpret their dreams. And the dreams came to pass. But even at that service was not enough. So he was still in that prison for another 2 years. Until the king also had a dream. And they sent for Joseph to come. And Joseph showed up and interpreted the king's dream. That service was still not enough. He would have interpreted the dream and they would have said, you are gifted, you can go. But Joseph was wise. He had learned his lesson. So after interpreting the king's dream, he said, wait. Let the king get a wise man. So he migrated from interpretation to wisdom. And when he counseled the king on what to do, the king now realized, your quota of service has come up. He said, inasmuch as God has shown you this thing, he said, there's no man as discreet as you are. He said, so therefore, you do the job. Because what you actually call influence is service at a higher level. Influence is not a title. Influence is actually higher responsibilities. But for you to attain that higher responsibility, you must have built a track record of service. And so as Joseph began to render service, his influence in Egypt began to grow. Until a point came, he was second in command to the king. There was none who could rank as high as Joseph. Joseph became so influential that he bought the whole Egypt. The only lands he spared were the lands of the priest. And a point came, even when they ran to the king redirected them to Joseph. Whatever Joseph says, do. This is a generation that is boycotting process. This is a generation that is running from service. Somebody has no service to render, but is looking for 2 million. He's looking for 3 million. And that is why many become Yahoo boys. Many become fraudulent. They are looking for pleasure. They are looking for money, and they have no service to render. Every blessing that comes your way is a repercussion for the service you have rendered. Every blessing that comes your way is a result attesting to the quality of service you are rendering. And so if you want greater influence, render greater service. That is how the system of the world was designed. Be it in the kingdom or outside the kingdom, your service is what will bring you to influence. And service has cadres. The first level of service is hard work. The second level of service is diligent work. The third level of service is wise work, or work based on wisdom. The man who works hard has service to render, but that service is not impactful enough. The guy who is carrying blocks on his head at the building site is working very hard. But how many persons can be impacted by that hard work? Only him will be impacted. And so because of that, his influence level will be low. Now, if that guy wants to improve himself, he will add diligence. Diligence will require that he brings other virtues apart from hard work. So he will coordinate the way he renders a service, ranging from how you meet him, how he delivers service. He will build a lot of things around his hard work. And so he may not even be packing blocks on his head. He can create a system where he employs people who can carry blocks. He can create a system where he employs people who can clean. Because his service is now affecting two or three other persons, influence level will increase. And then if he grows from diligence, he will enter wisdom. The Bible says through wisdom is an house builded. And by understanding it is established. And through knowledge, the chambers are filled with every good thing. So when you are working or you are rendering service, you are going to render service from hard work to diligent work to wise work. If you arrive at wise work, your service becomes impactful. And to the degree you impact is the degree of your influence. If I'm impacting 10 people, I will have influence over 10 people. If I'm impacting 1,000 people, I will have influence over 1,000 people. If I'm impacting 1,000,000 people, I will have influence over 1,000,000 people. If I don't have enough wisdom to package my service to impact more people, I will have no influence over them. If I'm asking God to give me influence, I'm a thief. This is what many believers don't know. They kneel down, they are asking God, Lord, see what you have done for this person. See what you have done for that person. What have I done? Why would you not bless me? And God is asking you, what service are you rendering? He said, if you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. You are not rendering any service. And you want God to exhort you like he exhorted your brother who is a senator. You want God to exhort you like he exhorted your brother who is a CEO. What will you do there if you are given that position? Imagine for a second God puts you in that office. What will you do? The next thing you will do is that you will start eating granite in that office. Because you have no value to render. If God gave you the kind of influence he gave that man that you are using as example in the place of prayer, and you invoke Luke 18, he said, even the wicked judge, as the widow prayed and didn't stop, God answered her. And he said, pray without ceasing. What kind of prayer is that? Prayer that has no service to show for it. How can God put you there? If God puts you there, he is putting the lives of millions in jeopardy. Because that man that you are asking God to exhort you like is affecting 1 million people. If you go there, can you impact those people? And so people need to understand the way the kingdom works. Influence is one of the ways God rewards. But that reward is based on what you render. And what you render in order to build influence is service. Quality service. And so instead of praying to God to make you influential, pray to God to give you wisdom to apply service to your generation. Because as you bring service to your generation, you will discover that influence is a byproduct. Many persons have no service. You are a preacher. You are hoping that God will make you influential like the other apostle or like the other prophet. Do you know the service they are rendering, both to God and to man? This is why it's not everything God does by prophecy. And this is why sometimes the churches with the highest number of babies are prophetic churches and deliverance churches. They just come and they want to take everything by prophecy. They just come, they want to take everything by anointing oil. It's not everything you collect by anointing oil. It's not everything you take by prophecy. There are certain things God gives you as a reward for the service you are rendering. And so the time has come for believers to wake up and ask God, like Paul, what will you have me do? Paul was wise. When he met Jesus, he didn't say, bless me and make me a great man. He said, Lord, what will you have me do? And the moment he began to do what God will have him do, a point came, he became the greatest of all the apostles. In fact, Paul with his mouth said, I labor more than they all. It took labor for him to arrive at where he was. You'll find a pastor, he cannot sit down to read the Bible. He strolls to church in the morning and tells stories for 2 hour service. You find a businessman, he wakes up by 11 and goes to the office, sits down, talks story till 1 p.m. and wake up, make some calls and come back home around 2. He said, this country hard. The country will be very, very, very hard. If you like, they should pour a drum of oil on you. God will not waste your destiny by blessing you. Service is the second key that makes for the reward of this kingdom. Because God, even though he's big and possesses all things, is a just God. He's a just God. His justice system will not be swallowed up by his love for you. He loves you very well, and that's why he will teach you what to do so that you will prosper. The reward of influence comes to those who serve, and those who serve well. There are too many believers who are idling away, and they are hiding under the guise of prophecy and anointing oil. If you like, buy 1,000 stickers. Put stickers around your car. Let your whole car become sticker. It will not lift you up in this kingdom if you have nothing to render. If you like, have 7 types of oil. Let one anointing oil come from Jerusalem. Let another anointing oil come from Rome. And let the other anointing oil come from the mountaintop. Pour all of them on your head every morning. It will not translate to service if you have nothing to render. Paul said, with my hands I labored. With my hands. Because God will see it to promote you. If we are not careful, we will deceive people from the altar. And the same people will come back to us and ask us, why is the prophecy not working? They will come back to us and say, is God a liar? Why is he not working? You find 2-3 people who are rendering genuine service come to testify. And then you amplify the testimony and use the testimony to encourage lazy people. It doesn't work like that. Next time when people testify, ask them, what do you do? That's the error We suffer today. Somebody comes and tells you, God bless me, and I gain 10 million. You say, hey, praise God. How many people like that? When 10,000 people gather, you'll find two people. Supernaturally gets a lifting. And then we over-amplify the testimony. And then lazy people too will sit down and say, my day will come. My day will come. What gospel is that? Which one is your day? Today can be your day if you have something to offer. This is the difference between reward and blessings. In the context of reward, God is blessing you for what you have done. And so if you have nothing doing, then forget about reward. Because if you come to reward, that's where you meet the justice system of God. See, there are different things God represents. God represents a father. God also represents a judge. As a father, he will deal with you benevolently. But when God is dealing with you as a judge, he will deal with you based on the legalities. And God will not want to be your father forever. Because if he's your father, he will spoil you with his love. A point will come where God will graduate you to where you will meet him as a judge. And then when you come to him, he will ask you, what have you done? If you err, he will tell you, because of this thing you have done, you will be in the wilderness for 1 year. So that you can learn. Because I'm not only here to give you things. I'm here to make you. Make you. God is not just blessing men. He's making men. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He's making men. You know, the first time I gave my heart to Christ, I was passionate about soul winning. I went to the streets, prayed for sick people. They were just healed. And I said, the simplest thing in this kingdom is healing. No prayer, no fasting, no word study. I just show up and pray for people and somebody will scream. Pain has gone. I couldn't walk. I say, then some of us will have to start in ministry from international level. If this is how easy it is. As I started studying the word of God, the moment I knew fasting, prayer, and the word, I will go to pray for the sick, and the Holy Ghost will ask me, I told you to fast last week, you didn't fast. I say, I will come back. I will go and pray, nothing will happen again. What is going on? He said, now you are growing. And so things will not just happen like that anymore. Because if things happen like that, you will not value them. And say, so there are things you will do for me to release grace upon your life. That is God helping you. And so there are many things God will withdraw from you for you to serve your way into them. And as you serve your way into them, you will become bigger than the blessing. Because an influential man is not a man with material things. An influential man is actually bigger than everything he has. Take it from him, he can reproduce it again. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. In 1 Kings chapter 3 from verse 4, the Bible said Solomon went to the high place in Gibeon and offered 1,000 burnt offering. And he said that night God showed up and said, what do you want? And then somebody will go and read the Bible and say, my God. God say, what do you want? Father, in the name of Jesus, I want A, I want B. When you finish listing it, go back and read what he gave. It's not everybody God asks, what do you want? It's those who render service in the fold of 1,000. If your service is not up to 1,000 fold, you don't qualify to be asked, what do you want? And so when you read scripture, better read it in context. So you don't become overly optimistic and it looks as if the God you are speaking about lied to you. There are systems in this kingdom that govern spiritual operations. And the way a man comes into genuine influence is through service. And so before you leave this conference, God will not just bless you, but he will open your eyes to a dimension of service that will make you relevant in your generation. When we started preaching, there were many young fellows like myself. They will just go and preach in one place, cut 1,000 clips and sponsor it on Facebook, sponsor it on YouTube for people to watch. The whole world can watch your clip and you'll go nowhere. Preach one message, divide it into 30, and pay money and sponsor it on Facebook and YouTube. When you now finish laboring and the video spread, nothing will happen. But those who are genuinely serving and not creating impression, God will be lifting them. God will be lifting them. And if God lifts you, no force can bring you down. Because it's not man that lifted you. The whole world can turn against you. That's when you will shine brighter. Because the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. And so when God is comparing you to go through the order, it's because he's fortifying you. He's fortifying you. If you manipulate your way there, one man can wake up one day and say, I'm not happy with you. And because he's not happy with you, you will sink. Because your prosperity, your rising and your influence is in a man's hand. But if it is God that lifted you up, if the man turns against you, if the government turns against you, all of that does not matter. You will become bigger and bigger. Did you not read about Jacob? The Bible said that the whole city turned against him. But God said he was the one who made him. He says, stay still in Gera and you will prosper. And the Bible said Jacob stayed in Gera. He dug a well, they seized it. He dug another well, they seized it. Now, the mystical thing happening is that if they seize Jacob's well, the well dries up. Because it's not the location that brings water there. It is his covenant with God. When they seize it, he will dig another one. They will collect it, it will dry. A point came, the king came to him and said, you are bigger than us. You are bigger than us. Somebody is coming to a realm where the government of this country will come to you and say, you are bigger than us. Not because you manipulated your way, but because you have a service that cannot be denied. It looks as if the sons of the bondwomen understand this more than the Christians. They sit on a very robust service that they become so important you can't deny them. Men serve their way into so much influence that they borrow to government. They lend to government. And these are godless people. In the name of Jesus, the wisdom that makes a man becomes relevant, it rests upon you from tonight. I appreciate impartations. I appreciate prophecies. But when I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, men had things they did with their hands. And so I don't want to be that man floating. Thank God if you say it happens, you don't know how it happens. Because it's the finger of God. But don't allow the testimony of I don't know how it happened make you become a lazy person and a mediocre. You must have something you are doing. Because God will use that service to judge your character. And it's on the strength of your character in service that God will exalt you. It's called influence. The second natural reward that God gives to men is influence. These things I share with you, they are more important than money. They are more important than human connection. These things I share with you, they are more important than gimmicks that men do. A man will become so influential that the government of nations will seek to befriend him. There are men like that in this world. And it's because of what they have to offer. Certain men are so big that a whole government fight them, they can't bring them down. Because they have built structures and systems that are impregnable fortresses. The wisdom we need today is not the wisdom of money coming to us miraculously. The wisdom we need today is a wisdom to build structures and systems that are deep in God that nothing can break. Elohim Adonai. The third reward God gives men is authority. Authority. A name gives you access. Influence makes you significant. But authority makes you a commander. When you have a name, you have access to different corridors. But you may not have power to change things. When you have influence, you are so relevant that they can't do it without you. But when you have authority, you are the one who decides how it's done.
You are a commander. A name is built through covenants and relationships. Influence is built through service. But authority in this kingdom, amongst other things, is built through faithfulness. There are many dynamics to authority. I wish I had time to share it here. There is an authority level you come to because you are born of God. So you operate in the name of Jesus and in the order of the last Adam. There's an authority level you come to because you are sent high in the spirit. Because authority is a function of height in the spirit. There's an authority level you enter because you have revelation. There's an authority level you enter because you have obedience. But because we are dealing with reward system, the kind of authority, the kind of structure that brings authority is faithfulness. When God finds a faithful man, the only way God makes him more effective is that he gives him authority. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10 and 12, the Bible said, if you are faithful in little, you shall be faithful in much. It said, if you are not faithful in another man's business, it said, who will give you authority over your own? And so every time God wants to give authority to men, what he does is that he allows them go through life and judges their faithfulness. In Luke 19, verse 17, we heard the parable of the men God gave talents. And the one that had 10 talents, the Bible said he produced 10 more. And God said to him, he said, because you have been faithful in this little, he said, have authority over 10 cities. And so authority in the kingdom is tied to your character. And one of the expressions of your character is faithfulness. A man who is faithful is a man who qualifies for authority because he is a steward that can manage authority. If you find a man who lacks faithfulness, he will struggle, but he will never have authority. Things will keep happening to him. But when you find a man that has authority, things don't happen to him. He makes things happen. There is a realm in life where you make things happen. That realm is the realm of authority. And what will bring you there is faithfulness. See, we have most of the spiritual things that are for our advantage. We've not taken time to study how they work. God can give you a business. There are 1,001 things he's studying from your life using that business. The business God gave you, he can use that business to check the content of your heart towards him. Because when you are blessed from that business, he's going to see how much you will bring to honor him. Because where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. So the book God reads when he studies the heart of men is their resources, the traffic of their resources. If God wants to understand a man's heart, he begins to read the traffic of his resources. If your resources go on mundane things, it's a sign that you are mundane, you are worldly, and you are vanity. If your resources go in the direction of God's kingdom, it means your heart is there. That same business, God can use it to judge the level of compassion you have. Because now that you are lifted, he wants to see what you do to your neighbor. That same business, God will use it to judge the degree of your faithfulness. That same business, God will use it to judge the level of your diligence. And so many times, beyond what we receive is what God is doing. You may think God has ended everything when he blessed you with what you asked for. It is after God blessed you that God begins to study you. You may assume that because God has given me this position, I prayed and fasted for this position. It's after the position comes that God starts working. God didn't have to work to give you that position. With his hands, just a click of his hands, you will get that position. But God will use 10 years studying you on that position to find out who you really are. And it's when he discovers who you are that he will begin to coronate you with authority. And so there are few persons on earth today that have genuine authority because few persons have passed the test of faithfulness. I'm not talking about motivation, quick motivations that people receive. You may be in this church cleaning the toilet and pastor shows up, and because pastor is a diligent person, he will pass by and say, well done, God bless you, I'm happy that you are doing this. And because of that, God bless you, are doing what you are doing diligently, God will be waiting. That's not when God will judge you. God will look at you the day pastor shows up and forgets to thank you. God will look at you the day pastor rebukes you. That's when God will know whether you are truly faithful. Because everybody loves applause. Everybody loves commendation. And so long as you are doing it for commendation, you cannot be judged faithful. The only time God will judge you faithful
It's when all the commendations are withdrawn, yet you are still doing it. It's when the commendations are suspended and you are still doing it. That's when God will say, this person is truly faithful, and authority will come. There are many things we do. God is waiting because the opportunity for reward has not yet come. And so you can serve in a church for 10 years, you may not be rewarded. Because in that 10 years, your ego is well pampered. In that 10 years, you are well appreciated. In that 10 years, you are well recognized. If they tell you to carry out a function on the altar here, you will wear your best dress. You will wear a new suit. You will make a new hairstyle. You will prepare all night to come and do it, especially if it's a conference. When the choir was ministering, how beautiful they looked. But imagine if they were asked to do this ministration in a home cell, where there are no cameras, where the service is not streamed, with the guy leading the worship still sing with all of his heart. Are we going to still see all of those transpositions? Are we going to see all of those keyboard skills? Imagine if this worship and this praise session was to be done under a tree. Are we going to have all the people that came out stand and praise God with all their heart? Or is it because it's done behind an LED screen? Is it because it's been streamed? And so God is not naive to be moved by the energy we are putting into what we are doing, because it's a stage. No, the one we are dealing with is wise. He's called the Ancient of Days. They told you to walk. Because you are walking around, pastor, you keep to time. You come, you are so humble. You are bending down. Everything they say, you bend down. Sir, it doesn't mean you are faithful. Because that commitment you have, what if you were doing it with somebody you are older than? What if you were doing it with somebody that in society you are more placed than? I know you can come around, pastor, and kneel down and greet him because he's pastor. What if pastor said, this thing you are doing for me, begin to do it for that HOD? Is your commitment still going to be at that level? That's where God judges faithfulness. God doesn't judge faithfulness on the strength of eye service. He judges faithfulness on the strength of consistency, regardless of the circumstances surrounding that service. I'm telling you why many people have no authority. I was teaching in the ministry 2 months ago. I said, many sisters, tell them to give pastor water or guest minister water. They need them, and give the water. But that same sister will go home and look at the husband and say, be careful. Be very careful. Is it because I don't want to talk? That thing you did in church, you just named it fake. Because God will not be moved that you knelt down to give man of God water. God will not be moved. When visitors are around, yes, yes, yes. But when visitors are not around, they become a lioness. You can deceive men, not God. And that's why we have no authority. Because largely what we do is eye service. A man acts as if he is responsible. He takes care of his home because people are watching. When people are watching, he becomes a gentleman. But when people are not watching, he can slap his wife. He can shout on his wife. You are fake. You are a hypocrite. When God looks at you, he's not moved. Every activity you did in the public to win human validation and human commendation just went further to condemn you. Because you are at your best when no one sees you. You are at your best when the stage is not ripe. You are at your best when it's not a show. And so when God wants to really give men authority, he checks their faithfulness. And faithfulness is one of the factors that define genuineness of service. And I tell you, very few people are genuine in the corridor of service.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know why I stayed here. This is not my message. I wanted to talk about eternal rewards. I wanted to talk about the hidden manna. It's a day that overcome. He said, them will I allow to eat of the hidden manna that is in the paradise of my God. That's what I came to teach on. I wanted to talk about power over the nations. In Revelation 2:26, he said, they that overcome, I will give power over the nations. That's what I came to talk about. But I don't know why God kept me here. Maybe somebody is about to qualify for something. But these things have hindered him. You use your mouth to say, Prophet A has prayed for me. Bishop B has prayed for me. Even pastor has prophesied. Nothing has happened. Something has happened. You have refused to receive it. Because you lack these things. There's no relationship. There's no service. There's no faithfulness. Maybe God has made up his mind to bless you in this conference. That's why he kept me here. All right. Maybe tomorrow morning I will talk about eternal rewards. If 10% of the body of Christ, 10% have names in the spirit, have influence in the spirit, and have authority, the problem of the world will be solved. He said, the government of this world shall be upon his shoulders. See, many times we try to solve problems dealing with them in the natural. And we join the technocrats of the world trying to solve problems that were created by principalities. We are trying to correct them in the natural. The world is not to be blamed if all they know is natural. But when we come in, we should help them address the spiritual aspect. Because when you see violence, it's beyond negotiation, it's beyond interest. There are princes that are responsible for violence and destruction. And their goal is to see blood spilled and to see national crisis. And so when we come in addition to negotiations on the table, we need to distort those princes in the heavens. When Daniel came into Babylon, he knew that the problem of Israel was not just the captivity in Babylon. He knew there was a prince of Persia. If he didn't deal with the prince of Persia, everything done in the natural would be a waste. While we attempt to solve economic problems with economic intelligence, we also need to find the principalities that are responsible for desolation and for drought, for famine, and distort them from the heavens. If all we do is to join the world, analyzing problems on economic tables, analyzing problems on political tables, then what it goes to mean is that we have failed our generation. Because it's not the responsibility of the world to deal with the principalities and powers. It's the responsibility of the church to deal with principalities and powers. And so in addition to what we do on tables and in offices, we need men that can stand in the heavens like Daniel and tell the prince of Persia to go back. Because the economic problem will not be solved only by technocrats. The societal crisis will not be solved only by government agents. Because the first government is called the ecclesia. This is where we change things. But the unfortunate thing is that few have names in the spirit. Few have authority in the spirit. And few have influence in the spirit. If you study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, God does not negate the natural impute. But before the natural, the spiritual is handled first. When Moses came to Egypt, Pharaoh will not let Israel go except as the gods of Egypt were judged. That means one man, Moses, was more important than the whole Egypt, the whole Israelites put together. If we have one man who can deal with it in the spirit, then those of us who went to school will help on the economic front. But the problem is that we have economic scholars, we have political scholars, but we don't have spiritual scholars. So while the economic scholars are laboring, the spiritual scholars are not working. Joshua was fighting the Amalekites on ground, but Moses had to be on the mountain with his hands lifted up. If Moses is not sitting on the mountain with his hands lifted up, both Joshua and the whole army will perish. And so what will make Joshua's effort count is the effort of Moses on the mountain. The church has left the mountain and has joined the world in the valley. And so this conference is a summon for men to come up hither in the spirit and begin to contend with the gates of hell. Jesus made a statement. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, some of us will join the economic analyst. Yes, some of us will join the political analyst. Yes, some of us will join the academic analyst. But where are those of us who should stand on the mountain? That's where the problem of the world is. Because the mountain is empty. He said, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. He said, there shall be holiness. And the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. It is on Mount Zion that the earth is judged. And if we don't have the quorum that is needed there, all our economic experts will fail. All our political experts will fail. And so before we hold insults on politicians, let's find out, where are the ecclesia? Because the politicians will continue to fail until the ecclesia rises. Before you insult the president, insult the senators, find out who are the men who are fighting the princes that are interested in those thrones. Do you think you sit on the throne of the president just because you won an election? There are princes that stand by that throne. And anybody that comes there will be their puppets. You don't just sit on the throne and think. Some of them, the moment they ascended that throne, a prince took their brain and put it in a cupboard. And is dictating for them for the next 4 years. You need another prince from the realm of light that will tell that prince in darkness, say, go back. Go back. This one will start the will of God. Help those under the power. I sense a movement. Today we sing about Esther, that she was a virtuous woman. We sing about Esther, and many people come quoting scripture. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Who told you Esther wanted to say that? Esther was enjoying herself in the palace. The reason Esther came alive and said, if I perish, I perish, was because there was a Mordecai. A Mordecai that was on the altar. A Mordecai that could send a letter to Esther and said, do you think God raised you at such a time as this? If you don't rise up, God will raise another. That was why Esther woke up. Our politicians will be dead except our intercessors rise. Our politicians will be dead except men of authority in the spirit rise. Our businessmen will fail except men in authority rise. Who are the men who can hold the gate in the spirit? Who are those who will come and say, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, that the King of glory will come in? It's high time we quit this blame game. While you have a natural president, you should also have a spiritual president. While you have a natural senator, you should also have a spiritual senator. While you have a natural governor, you should also have a spiritual governor. That's why in the Old Testament, every king had prophets standing by his side. You heard of Samuel the seer, Nathan the prophet, Gad the seer. They were the ones that surveyed the atmosphere so that the king can think correctly. They were the ones that surveyed the atmosphere so that the scepter can be wielded successfully. You'll find a naked president, a naked governor, a naked senator on the throne, and there are no men who have authority in the spirit to say, in this generation, the will of God will find expression. You have no men in the spirit who can stand and say, this one will not fail. We speak from our realm, we speak from our throne, that in the next 4 years, only the will of God will find expression. You don't know men who can go on their knees for 21 days and disperse the prince of Persia. And you think you have a good president? You think you have a good economy? You think you have a good governor or governance? Today we are celebrating. Everybody is rallying around one man and say, our solution has come. Who told you that? That man is a puppet. We are the ones to determine which spirit he will work for. Because if men don't rise, you will be shocked. He will enter that office and become confused. Today he's quoting figures. Everybody is saying, this is the man. That intelligence, wait until he enters the office. By the time he enters the office, and the first prince he meets is a blinder. Did you not read? He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world have blinded their hearts. Did you not read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2? A God one, the prince of the power of air, that regulates the sons of disobedience. A wise man will enter office and become foolish. The moment he drops that office and steps out, himself will wonder, why did I do what I did in the last 4 years? And so God is looking for men that have influence in the spirit. The question tonight and the question in this conference is not what God will do for you. The question is, what are you willing to do to qualify for God's reward? Will there still be vacuum in the spirit? Will the gates still be empty? Because there are many gates that are empty. Did you not read about Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar was a warrior. Nobody could withstand him. In fact, men dreaded him. But there was a prophet called a watcher. And so long as Daniel was in Babylon, his madness could be contained. It was in the time of Daniel that an angel came from heaven. Because Daniel is also a watcher. And the watcher came from heaven and looked at him and gave him a vision. And when he summoned Daniel, Daniel showed up and told him, you have erred. You think you are as great as the God of heaven. And so in the next 7 years, the heart of an animal will be put in you. And he said, you will run naked in the field for 7 years. After 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar showed up and said, truly, truly, there is a God that ruleth in the affairs of men. Kings will not bow until the prophets arise. When his son ascended the throne, he was given to water, pleasure. And suddenly the Bible said, a hand appeared and the hand wrote on the wall. And he said the king began to quiver in fear. His legs were jittery and he didn't know what to do. And suddenly the queen showed up and said, yes, I know you have astrologers. I know you have wise men. He said, but there's a man in thy kingdom. Ha, that's a name. There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. He said, light and understanding is found in this man, and he has the ability to explain hard sentences. Send for this man. And when Daniel showed up, he didn't need to read the book. He looked at the king and he began to judge him, because he was a watcher and he was also a judge. He said, oh king, he said, the God of heaven has given you a throne after the order of your father. He said, you are mighty. Your influence and your dominion is from one part of the earth to another. He said, but you have chosen to worship the God of stone and the God of iron. He said, therefore is this hand come. Mene, mene. Teke ofasin. What he was telling the king is that I was in the community where this hand came from. Your judgment didn't come on earth. We judge you from the spirit. That's why I can tell you this language. I was there when you were weighed. Because he told him, you have been weighed in the balances. You have been weighed. And you have been found wanting. That means what Daniel was reciting was a reality that happened in a court where he's also a judge. You have been weighed. I was there when the immortals weighed you. They looked at you and they put you on the balances and you were light. And he said, because of that, this night, he said, your kingdom shall be taken from your hand. We are the men who can take kingdoms. The men who can seize kingdoms. Men. Men that when they walk into the office, the governor will fear and say, what is God saying? Men that when they walk into the office, the president will tremble. Those are the men that God puts in the church as an insurance system for the body of Christ. If not, we will be plundered. And so this conference is a summon. Come up hither, is what the voice of the spirit is saying. Because there are gates that we need to occupy. There are vacuums in the spirit and there's no man to say restore. The highway full of bandits. The land is become desolate. But there is no man. The Bible said in the days of Deborah. Those are people that have names. They could call a whole civilization. And a whole generation after them. In the time of John. Those are people that have names. Those are those God has truly rewarded. In the days of Shamgar. In the days of Elijah. In the days of Isaiah. Because they shaped the government of nations. They determined what came into the territory and what went out. While we are clamoring over bread and wine, men should be legislating in the spirit. Who are the men who can climb the mountains of God? You want to pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Aliyah!
we are easily deceived. 8 years ago, they told young people, this is the change that Nigeria was looking for. The fathers that were alive in the 80s, they knew better. And today again, we are hearing the sound of another drum. And this is when men should tell people, before you take a political position, take a spiritual position. Because you will betray yourself and you will betray your generation. And before you follow a man and march around the city, make sure you have marched around Jericho in the spirit. Because if you don't march in the spirit and you march in the natural, you will be shocked the way that man will disappoint you. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I tell you the algorithm of the spirit realm. There's a way the spirit realm works. If we don't conquer in the spirit, we can't conquer in the natural. There's no hope because a man rose. There's only hope because gatekeepers have risen. Who can dictate how the man on the throne will think? And so conferences like this are organized ahead of time as a strategy of the spirit to go ahead of those that God will raise. Let's pray for 1 minute. Let's pray for 1 minute. Channels of my spirit, open up. I am with the Father. Open up. No boundaries, no limits. Open up. Let him call unto thee. Open up. Channels of my spirit. Open up. I am with the Father. Open up. No boundaries, no limits. But hear this. I see 12. I see the number 12 in the spirit. And that's the number for government. There are 12 people here tonight that God wants to put his hand upon. Because he wants to give you a name that no man knoweth. He wants to give you a name. And I want to lay hands on this one quickly as I go forward. There are 12 of you that the fire of God will come upon because there's a new name. Patakabaro Sadavake, Belianda Sura Davaya Tadadina, Patakabo Zarende Sidakai. In the name of Jesus, 12. Father Varande Sekedak, Tatalia, Zozane, Maradiga, Zandeke, take that fire now. Baro Sadavaya. Can you bring them here quickly? 12. There are things greater than money. The name of the Lord is named upon you tonight. Marevina Sonde Paragira Vecina Vatigas Moite Kebanos
Barakida Sakadata. Manda Kibaro Sada. I've seen a young man wield a scepter in the spirit. Authority, the same order of the patriarchs of old. The power to change things. In the name of Jesus. Karos. Aliyah. On ground, online, the scepter of power, the hand that changes things. Sayana Katika Salish. Pararona Vilakadakas. Hear this. I will not pray for the sick. Most of you will be healed. The economy we are dealing with is beyond Lord. Bless me with money. You will walk out of this place. You will enter into extraordinary favor that will shift you and promote you and bring you resources. But over and above that, God is raising an army. And so now I see in the spirit. Ah, there's a young man here that the hand of God will come upon violently. I see you wielding a scepter in the spirit. It's in the order of Jeremiah. The power to plant and to uproot. The power to destroy and to build. Father, whoever that one is, help the sister running. Patakabara Sada. In the Lado Shadegavina. I see that young man. Now, step into your ordination. Take that fire now. Take that fire. Marosh. Baradia Kadak Balanasta Venaruda Baradida Sozone Garit Tavaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord changes your name in the spirit. Receive that name now. Wherever that is. Help them on the gallery. There is a light entering this place. There is a new baptism. A baptism of fire. Malele Shetekaya. Please hear me. The Lord is healing people as I'm talking now. Close to that camera stand. Close to that camera stand and that pillar. I'm seeing somebody who has a heart palpitation. It's a heart condition. It's like something is inserted in your heart. And you have been struggling with palpitation until now. There. Who is that person? I'm seeing the Lord touching somebody there now. And changing a heart condition. Towards the back there. Who is that person? Please come. Please come, sir. There's a change coming upon that person. I curse that affliction. Aliyah. It's a heart condition. Come, sir. Somebody towards the left here, where that TV is standing, somewhere around there, you are having an excruciating pain with your private organ. This is a man. It's not yet swollen, but there is this pain that is almost unbearable. The Lord wants to touch you and remove that affliction now. Now it's gone. I'm speaking by the Spirit. There are many healings about to take place now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Everyone physically challenged, I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. I command yokes break in the name of Jesus. Break in the name of Jesus. Break in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing somebody on this road. You have been struggling with your business. In fact, a prophet told you to go and fetch the sand in your father's compound. You have done all of that, yet nothing has changed. But right now, the Lord comes for you because I see a scepter handed to that one here. It's on this row by my right here. Please, can that person just come to me quickly? There is an ordination for you. I see a scepter coming upon you now. You went to fetch sand from your compound. That's the instruction that was given to you. But nothing has changed. Now the Lord is about to exalt your horn, like the horn of the unicorn. Please come, brother. Mara felakade. Balikaya Sandakiba Radash. Please stretch your hands towards me. Matekaros. Right now the plague and the curse is rolling away. In the name of Jesus, take that fire now. Go forever. Please lift your hands toward heaven. What God is doing here is beyond natural blessing. Every grace that provokes for physical blessing in the area of your finances, issues that were holding, monies that were stopped, doors that were locked, I decree now by the power of the Holy Ghost, they are open to you. In the name of Jesus. I command men to step into realms of financial rest. In the name of Jesus, I decree every door shut against you, I break them open in the name of Jesus. You came here with an infirmity. You will be shocked that the crisis has ended. And everyone molested in the dream. You have a dream, something spoils in the natural. You have a dream, something spoils in the natural. I bring that affliction to an end tonight. On ground, online, receive your liberty now. I'm seeing a demon come out of a young lady. This one has been molested in the dream. And it has become difficult for your life to make progress. Wherever that one is, ushers, please be sensitive. Help that sister there. I call you forth from that pit. Come out in the name of Jesus. What the Lord is doing to now is beyond healing and blessings. God is bringing men into realms of reward. Atmospheres that suck men into possibilities in the spirit. And so the realm of names are open. Every one of you walking with the Lord for decades, for months, but there's no name of authority. There's no signet of authority. Now I come as one helped, and I decree in the name of Jesus, step into a higher realm of authority now. He says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Shall the prey be taken from the hands of the mighty? If they thus hear the Lord, even the captive of the mighty shall be delivered. And the prey of the terrible shall be let loose. Now I decree, whatever your captivity is, it breaks in the name of Jesus. You have submitted files upon files, proposals upon proposals. But it looks as if when your file is submitted, they take it and bury it somewhere. I decree now, blessings of yesteryears that the devil piled up in his cupboard that has not seen the light of day. In the name of Jesus, open now. After this conference, there will be catalogs of testimonies, of promotions, of open doors, and of financial favor. But over and above that, I see the Lord giving men names tonight. He gave Jesus a name that angels recognized and demons recognized. He gave Paul a name that angels recognized and demons recognized. As you walk out of this place from tonight, angels and demons will recognize your name in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can you just go ahead and pray in tongues for 1 minute? There are many things happening now. We don't have the time. Can you download them as you pray in the spirit? Rapate kevaris. Dataniga paragata sende keva. Parefekes caprina kadakalis. Bragatila fatah de velagina parados. Bragida solapande bragatina. Jate kepaza kurakira. Satane valindagados. My God, can you download? Can you download? I'm seeing somebody here just before that TV. Your knee has been locked. Your knee is like an arthritis pain. When you sit down, after a while, you can literally not stand up to walk. I command those knees to be unlocked. I command those knees to be unlocked. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We are out of time. But hear this. God is bringing men into the realm of scepters. That's the realm of authority. It will manifest as favor. It will manifest as wisdom. It will manifest as speed. It will manifest as influence. And there are three of you in particular that it will come upon you like a garment. Like a garment of fire. I'm seeing two young men. I'm seeing a lady go under the anointing radically by the Spirit. Help them. Take that fire now. Please help her. Somebody will be escorted by an angel from this meeting. Help that sister. There is a fire upon her. Take that fire now. Jesus, who was the Son of God, required angelic assistance. Some of you, what is plaguing you is beyond an impartation. An angel needs to be stationed around you to help you from the quagmires of life. And as I speak now, somebody will receive a touch from an angel. It will come upon you like a cold sensation. And as you walk out of here, you will go with that angel. Father, that one you are bringing into the angelic atmosphere and the angelic realm, in the name of Jesus, I grant you access by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. Over and above all, we've declared, Lord, do in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus, I decree that there will be a shift for everyone present here tonight. I decree that you will come into your rest in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let there be impartations activations and encounters that affect your spiritual constitution, soulish constitutions, bodily constitution, and circumstantial constitution. In the name of Jesus, in your lifetime, men will call you blessed. And you will not fail God. Everyone under my voice tonight, on ground and online, receive the power to fulfill purpose. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.